Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on the sportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And Ray Woodson is our regular guest, too.
A lot of ifs, but after a disastrous 2017, the Giants were not going to rebuild. They're at least trying to compete while many teams in the majors are tanking.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. We're also brought to you by Houseboats.com, your home for houseboat rentals on Shasta Lake. Coming up, we'll talk to our regular guest, Ray Woodson, about the Giants series in Houston. But first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. Now let's get to the conversation with Ray Woodson. Well, Ray, you could kind of see it going into this road trip when you looked at two games in Houston against the defending World Series champs with a couple of pitchers on the mound that are just lights out right now. You know, two of the best pitchers really in Major League Baseball at the moment, in Gerrit Cole and Justin Verlander. You knew that was going to be quite a challenge for the Giants, especially when they're trying to match up with Andrew Suarez and Jeff Samardzija, who, you know, just hasn't been himself so far this year. And sure enough, the Giants get swept in the two-game series. A little bit better, closer game in the second one. But, you know, that's a tough matchup. And the Giants have to be still pleased with where they are, even though, you know, they're a couple games under 500, yet they're only a couple of games out of first place because the West has been putrid so far, especially the Diamondbacks. They've completely fallen apart. As we sit here, they've lost seven games in a row. So even if things don't go great on this road trip, the Giants, you know, they're sort of biding time while they wait for Madison Bumgarner on his rehab and hoping they can get through it because, you know, they really don't have great starting pitching at the moment.
No, they don't. That's, again, been the concern all year long that we've talked about on this podcast, and I'm sure a lot of other people have as well. You know, they ran into a buzzsaw with the Astros. They're so loaded. So nobody's shocked that they lost two there against two of the hottest pitchers. By the way, Gerrit Cole has really benefited from the move to Houston and the coaching he's getting down there and kind of changing his approach and his repertoire a little bit. And he's just been dynamic so far this year. But nobody's shocked they lost two. But the NL West right now is like the NFC West in 2010. Didn't the Seahawks win it with a 7-9 record, or was it the Rams? I forget. But
I think it was the Seahawks. I think you're right, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it reminds me of. There's nobody any good right now. And there have been a lot of injuries, too. And I think that's really affected it. It's affected the Dodgers. It's affected the Giants. And in another year, this kind of road trip with the Astros, the Cubs, and the Rockies could be disastrous for a team that needs Bumgarner back and needs Cueto back and needs Panic back, et cetera. But in this case, it might be damaging, but it may not be fatal. You know, it might hurt if they are not able to come away with at least close to a 500 record on this trip, but it's not going to kill them. It reminds me of a golf tournament where the leader is plus one after the first round. You know, so if you shoot a 76, well, okay, it's not great, but you're still there. They're still alive in the West, still alive in the wild card. There's a lot of mediocrity in the National League altogether. So you just take it and try to make the best of it. But they got to get Bumgarner back. You know, it looks like June. You got to get Cueto back. And you know, I think it's probably a time of learning for a guy like Andrew Suarez. I still think he's going to be a pretty good major league pitcher. But you know, again, used this phrase before, it's a big ask for all these young arms to try to hold things up.
Yeah, I mean, you wonder. I mean, there's really right now nobody that you can count on in that rotation. Absolutely nobody. I mean, there's not one pitcher that you can count on. So you're really, you're banking on Bumgarner coming back and being strong, and I think there's every reason to believe that. You really don't know about Cueto, so I wonder if the Giants start thinking about, you know, we got to bring another pitcher in here. I mean, you could end up calling up Derek Rodriguez, who, by the way, I was in Sacramento yesterday and talked to him for my minor league show, Orange and Black Best of the Farm. You got to check that out, by the way, at BAOSN.TV. And Derek Rodriguez, the son, by the way, of Ivan Pudge Rodriguez, the Hall of Fame catcher. This kid really throws the ball well. Maybe they add him to the roster. You know, that could be something. But you may want to think about trying to make a trade somewhere else. I mean, they just have to do something about this rotation, it seems like.
Yeah, tough time to make a trade right now with a lot of teams still deciding what they're going to be. I know there are a few teams that are going to be out of it, without a doubt. So maybe you go and get a veteran arm to kind of to patch things together. Derek Rodriguez is coming on fast. There's no doubt about it. But, again, a big ask to throw him into this fire right now. You know, I said at the start of the year, this pitching staff is in a world of hurt with all the injuries they've had, Bumgarner, the bullpen, and so forth. And they were going to need the offense to really step up. And, actually, the offense has done better. I thought that this lineup was too good, the hitters were too good, that they should be better than they started the year. Well, they're now, one of the four or five best offenses in the National League. So that's coming around. They're hitting with a little more power, but it's inconsistent. And listen, you know, when Verlander and or Gerrit Cole are on, it's going to be a long day. Except for Brandon Crawford, of course, who homered against his brother-in-law.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that. And by the way, Brandon Crawford might be headed for player of the month in the month of May.
Oh,
I mean, this guy is hitting over 400. I mean, he got his average up over 300 overall, where he was down around 200 at the end of April. I think he was below 200, wasn't he? And so he's hitting like crazy. Brandon Belt, too. I mean, Brandon Belt was the National League Player of the Week, and he's having a great season. I mean, these two guys look like all-stars right now. And, yeah, like you said, Brandon Crawford, can you imagine homering against your brother-in-law with your sister and your dad sitting in the stands? I mean, it's all kind of strange, I would think. And Brandon, I guess he wanted to get a smile out of Gerrit Cole after he had a bloop single against him, and he didn't get a smile. So, you know, it's real competitive in that family, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the competition that's always going to be there. You're going to talk about that forever within the family. But, you know, it was a major league game. That's what makes the dynamic so weird. And, of course, he hit it into the Crawford boxes, so that completes the picture. They've had this back and forth going for a few years now because, of course, Cole was pitching for a few years for the Pittsburgh Pirates. You know, maybe for Gerrit Cole's side of the family, and for Crawford's sister, it's the best case scenario in which, okay, Brandon gets a home run, but Garrett gets the win, right? So I don't know how they parse all that out, but that you don't see that too often. It is a weird dynamic. Brandon Crawford has been incredible this month, and he looked so lost in the month of April, but he's such an even keel guy, and you see why guys like that can make it in the major leagues. You have to be even keel. You can't get down, even in a prolonged slump. And when you're as hot as he is right now, you just enjoy it. But you know eventually it's going to cool off, and you just have to take the highs and lows. And I always think, you know, this is a game that you really have to love to play all year long, because you're going to have a lot of failure, and you're going to have slumps, and you just got to get through it. Well, Crawford's been around long enough now that he knows how to deal with that mentally.
Well, you know, he made an adjustment. I guess he moved his hands up a little bit.
Yeah.
And that made a big difference. And, you know, it's funny. I was in Sacramento, like I was saying, on Tuesday, and I talked to Hunter Pence, not on a microphone, but we were just talking about adjustments. And he looked at me, he said, you know, you have to make adjustments. You know, you just have to. And he's made a big one. He now looks like Mac Williamson and Justin Turner at the plate. I don't know if you've seen any of the highlights of him in Sacramento, but he's really killing the ball. He just hit a grand slam the other day. He had a nice long 10 or 11 game hitting streak. And he just has this totally different style. And here's a guy who's in his 30s willing to embrace that. I just thought that was really cool. And you see how hard that he works, and that doesn't surprise anybody. But he was out there for extra batting practice. And he even told me after the first round, he came around the cage and said, you know, I'm trying some different things. I'm not happy with that round right there. I'm like, really? And he goes, no, I want to drive the ball out to left field in this round. And he goes back in the cage the next round, and boom, he's hitting like four of them out of the ballpark. I said, wow. And then, of course, in the game that night, he hits a grand slam. So it's amazing how some guys can make an adjustment and implement it, and then it just works for them. You know, you got to do it.
It is a game of adjustments, but especially for Hunter Pence at this point in his career. he knows he has to do something different because what he's been doing has not been working for a couple of years now. So, you know, kudos to him because a lot of veterans would be stubborn about it. You know, he's conscientious enough to know that he has to do something. And he's seen the results. That's the other thing. You know, for veteran players to buy in, they got to see results. They've seen it with Justin Turner. He's seen it close up with Mack Williamson. And getting those guys back and Panic back would certainly be helpful. I think that what he's done down there, Hunter Pence deserves a shot, at least some starts in left field when he comes back. And, you know, Mack Williamson, had he stayed healthy, would have been the guy. You know, maybe he would have cooled off by now, but he looked like he was ready to take over that position. So I think it's a best case scenario for the Giants is you got two guys who've made adjustments that have worked, who are coming up and feeling confident. And now the question for Bruce Bochy will be, you know, how do you hand out the starting assignments? You know, how do you hand out the playing time for a veteran like Pence? You know, the image of Bochy is that he always favors the veterans, but it comes down to who's producing. And Mack Williamson was producing, and then he had another unfortunate injury. So I think for Bochy, it's just going to be who's swinging the hot bat.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a Giants outfielder right now, unless you have, you know, a big contract, or, you know, if you're Andrew McCutchen, you're okay. If you're, you know, right now, I don't know really as far as Jackson is concerned, Austin Jackson, because he has not had a good start to his season, but they've got enough depth now at the AAA level. I mean, you got Pence coming back, you got Williamson, you mentioned, you got Steven Duggar, who's always on their mind, and you've got Austin Slater, who's certainly opened up a lot of eyes with the way he's swinging the bat in AAA. I mean, he's just killing it. I mean, he's hitting over 400, and even when he was with the Giants briefly, he hit line drives, and he stole some bases, and he showed, wow, he should be on the roster. So, I mean, it's a good problem to have, but I think at some point, you're going to have to make some decisions, some hard decisions about that outfield.
Well, I think if Pence continues to hit, swing a hot bat, you're going to give him a chance, and this may be it for him, because he's in the last year, right, of his contract. Jackson's got 2 years. So he's not going anywhere right away. He's going to get a chance to work things out. The problem for him is defensively he's not been good in center field. And we knew he was consistent. You know, he could make spectacular plays. Made one of the greatest catches in the major leagues in Boston last year. We kept on seeing that highlight.
Oh,
reminded me when Aaron Rowan ran into the fence and broke his face in Philadelphia. And, and we used to joke that was, you know, a $60 million broken nose. That highlight was played over and over again. But Jackson has not been good. The metrics show it in center field. They may have to move him over to left field, and that creates a conundrum as well. You got Williamson there. You got Pence there. Gorkas Hernandez, who, you know, hit a home run and continues to swing the bat very well and has been probably their best defensive outfielder. You got to give him playing time too. And I never thought I'd say that.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like offense really, it surprisingly has not been the big problem with the Giants. It's, you know, again, it goes back to pitching and especially starting pitching because, you know, the bullpen hasn't been that bad. I mean, Strickland's done a pretty good job closing out games. Some of the other guys have been kind of up and down, but I mean, with Will Smith dealing and Watson has been very consistent. You got two guys from the left side that have done a really good job. It all comes down to those starters, because if you're going to go into series and you don't really have a lot of confidence in the rotation, it's just hard to win series that way.
Yeah, and going into ballparks like Houston and Chicago and Colorado against those offenses, and I know the Rockies have struggled to start the year, but they're dangerous in their ballpark. That makes it even more urgent that these starting pitchers get deeper into the games, or your bullpen is going to be trashed by the end of this road trip. And that's what you worry about. You know, the problem is you're going to have to probably use Strickland in some tie games maybe, because I don't know how many save opportunities he's going to get on this trip. He's been okay, you know. He's done a pretty good job. He's actually had a couple of drama-free saves lately and has thrown some filthy pitches. So that part right now is stabilized. And, you know, one of the questions is, Melanson coming back, do you throw him into the fire as a closer, or do you let Strickland keep the job? And I think you let Strickland keep the job right now and kind of ease Melanson in. You don't throw him right back into the fire.
I wouldn't. Yeah, I wouldn't throw him right back in the fire. It'd be good to have another arm, though, a dependable arm late in games. Doesn't have to be the closer. I don't know how that affects his ego and all that kind of stuff, because he's been a closer. But you just do whatever you can to help the team, in my opinion.
I think so. And, you know, if it gets to the point where Strickland falters and or Melanson is just throwing as well as he has in a while, then, okay, that's the direction you go. You let the players kind of make that decision for you. But, you know, hopefully he's healthy and he's effective. It's been very encouraging to see Will Smith come back, without a doubt. But it really comes back to the starting pitching, and they've got to get that straightened out.
We'll have more with Ray Woodson right after this. If you're thinking about a fun vacation, how about renting a houseboat on beautiful Shasta Lake? That's right, just go to houseboats.com, where they offer houseboat vacations on Shasta Lake. They also rent cabins as well as wakeboard, day cruising, fishing, pontoon, and party boats. Food and beverage service, fueling, brand name clothing, souvenirs, and a grocery store are all available at their modern marinas. Jones Valley Resort and Silverthorne Resort are the premier boating destinations on Shasta Lake, and houseboats.com will set you up there. Houseboats.com has the best service, the best boats, and the best locations. Call 877-468-7326 or go to houseboats.com today. You know, you look around baseball, and there are a lot of good races right now. I mean, really, the dominant teams are the Yankees, Red Sox, Astros. You know, Indians, we expect them eventually to kind of, you know, get it all going there in the American League. But National League, I mean, the West is up for grabs for sure. The East is up for grabs. And the Central, I mean, you know, the Brewers are playing really well. Cubs eventually. But it's so tight all the way around. It's a lot of fun to watch right now.
It is. Or you could say, like I said earlier, it's a lot of mediocrity. I'm not sure exactly what's going on. But, again, that makes it tough if you're trying to find trade partners, if you really think you need to help out your pitching staff, that you really can't get anybody right now because there are so few teams that are completely out of contention at this point of the year. It's just a little bit early. Man, I was watching some of the highlights between the Yankees and the Rangers today in Texas, and Aaron Judge doing what he does, a 471-foot home run, and Gleyber Torres also flexing the muscles. That team is just chock full of power hitters. And, you know, they don't have great starting pitching right now, I think, outside of Severino, but they just hit you over the head with a giant club. You know, that reminds me of the AL East of old.
I guess Aaron Boone got thrown out of the game the other day.
Yes.
Yeah, it seems like there's more and more anger going on with managers and umpires and, you know, especially the balls and strikes. And we talked about, you know, maybe a mechanical umpire, all that stuff. I don't see it getting any better, Ray. I guess just, you know, they have a lot of animosity now because everybody can take a look at what's going on the screen. I mean, they can quickly go take a look at, you know, what's transpired with technology and just get on an umpire. And I don't know. It just seems like the home plate umpiring, it needs to be better. It just seems like lately a lot of the calls have been bad. I mean, they're not consistent the way that they need to be.
And I give you Angel Hernandez as Exhibit A.
Exactly.
I saw a chart the other day that was just ridiculous of all the pitches he called a ball that were in a strike zone. And, you know, this is a guy who's complained that he's being held back. I don't doubt that there's some discrimination in Major League Baseball, but Angel Hernandez is a bad balls and strikes umpire. I think he always has been. And, you know, but he continues to be in the major leagues. So you know, that's going to be one of the problems that I think some managers have. And you hate the guys who make a bad call and then are, you know, they affect an attitude about it after that. You know, it's almost like they add to their defensiveness. The good umpires are the ones who come back later after a game and say, "Hey, I missed that call," and some of them do, but the ones who have an attitude and go after a player and make a show of it. After a bad call, that's the stuff that I think wears thin with players and with managers. And, you know, we saw it last week with Brandon Crawford, right? Brandon Crawford getting tossed from a game, and Bruce Bochy as well.
Yeah.
It's never going to be solved, you know? It just isn't. It's always going to be a running issue between players and umpires the way the game is now. The only thing I think is going to change it long-term is whether you change the actual mechanics of the game.
Well, you know, the Giants were right in the middle of it, like we talked about last week. But the one thing that I started to think about that I didn't cover last week was, you have statistics on everything in baseball, and you know that the umpire supervisors have those numbers in front of them. So why wouldn't you, you know, make those changes that are necessary? Maybe some of these umpires shouldn't be behind the plate. Maybe they can umpire, you know, third base or second base, and I know they have a rotation, but if you're not good at balls and strikes and your numbers aren't up to snuff, well, then you shouldn't be back there. I mean, you know, or, you know, if you have a problem like a Doug Eddings, according to Brandon Belt anyway, if you've got some kind of issue with games going long or whatever it is, then you got to be reprimanded. I mean, they have to be accountable.
Yeah, and that's where you butt heads with a union, right? You know, that would be like a scarlet letter. If he doesn't call balls and strikes anymore, that's a demotion. That's like being relegated in English soccer, right? So that would be pretty embarrassing.
Yeah.
I don't know if the unions would be into that. I think you'd just have all of them move from calling balls and strikes and just go to the automatic strike zone at that point. You know, I heard somebody talk about Joe West the other day, and Joe West is another guy who has an attitude. He's very imperious on the field. Don't mess with Joe. Don't mess with the cowboy. You know that. And sometimes he looks buffoonish, but I look at his strike zone compared to some of the other umpires, and it's not even that bad.
No, but how about the stare down he had with Bumgarner? That was the best.
I don't care who you are, country boy. I said, I'm a country boy, too. You want to stare me down? All right.
That was just the best exchange. I know it's been played a lot on Giants broadcast, but, that's enjoyable to see. I mean, that's to me, you know what, that's what I'm going to miss if we do have mechanical umpires, the arguments. I mean, you're just not going to see the same. Once we get to all replay, you're never going to see the Lou Piniella, Earl Weaver. That's going to be such a thing of the past. I mean, you don't see it as much now anyway, but every once in a while, you want to see a manager get after an umpire.
Well, I think you would still see arguments, you know, plays at home plate, some other rulings that, you know, the plate umpire would still have to make. But, yeah, they'd be greatly reduced. I go back and forth on this because, you know, I get so exasperated with the way umpires call balls and strikes. But I also know this. I mean, these pitchers nowadays have incredible stuff, just ungodly stuff, incredible movement on pitches at 95, 97 miles an hour. It is tougher than ever to call balls and strikes on some of these pitches with the late movement that they have, pitches that dart out of the strike zone at the last second. And so it's easy for us sitting here at home looking at a box superimposed on home plate on television and say, oh, you missed that. Well, if he misses by 6 or 8 inches, as we have seen, that's one thing. But a lot of these are close pitches with a lot of late movement, and that makes it really tough. And I think the players know that. And the managers know that as well, and so you're willing to cut them a break. I tend to think that a game would run more smoothly if you had an automatic strike zone, and we've talked about that before, and I do think it's something that was at least worth exploring at the lower levels and see where it goes from there. But I also would miss the arguments. I have to admit it. I miss the theater. Yeah. I miss the drama, especially in a heated pennant race. That's some good stuff. I'm sure, you know, the manager or the umpire doesn't enjoy it that much, but it's been part of the game for so long. Now, that's not the reason necessarily to keep something just because it's the way they've been doing things, but that's one part of the game I would miss a lot.
Yeah, me too. Well, Ray, thanks a lot. We've been busy again. We've got Warriors. We've got Giants. You know, we got San Francisco / Oakland against Houston. And now at least the Giants move on to play the Cubs, and we don't have to talk about Houston so much.
Oh, my goodness, what a team. I would not be surprised if they're right back in the World Series again this year.
That's Ray Woodson, and catch Ray also on our Dubs OT podcast that are going on throughout the NBA playoffs as the Warriors are facing the Houston Rockets in the Western Conference Finals. Coming up later on this week, we'll hear from some minor league players, Logan Webb and Matt Wynn from the San Jose Giants. Also had a chance to talk to Giants lefty Andrew Suarez in the Giants clubhouse recently. And we'll hear that conversation coming up later on this week as well. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.